Hello, everyone. I'm Nat, and welcome back to the Goal Get Her podcast. You know the drill here in the pod. We just have the goal to bring women together, no matter where you are, for real, relatable career conversations. How are you, pal?
I'm good. I'm good. Happy April. That's crazy. This year is flying, but I'm really excited for us to try this new format of the podcast moving forward. For everyone listening, we will be transitioning to a bi-weekly only interview format instead of flip-flopping between interviews and solo episodes. And we're very excited for this transition as we continue to listen to what our amazing audience is looking for.
Yeah, we've been listening, guys. We know you love the interviews. We've seen it in socials, we've seen it on Spotify. So we are very excited to be transitioning to this bi-weekly interview only format. We have an amazing lineup for you with amazing guests.
Yeah, we will kind of just be answering one of your audience questions in the beginning of our interviews moving forward, and then we will jump right into our amazing interview. So for today, the question is, if you could give your past self a pep talk right now after a big flop, what would you say?
I think for me, because I'm a very anxious person and I'm an overthinker, I would just say, don't think about it too much. Like it happened. Period. You know, I need to learn to, and I think we all need to learn to let it go. And the only thing we can do with that, like big flop or even small mistake, is just learn from it. Like it's done. It's fine. Don't be so hard on yourself, Nat. Personally, you. But yeah, just don't be hard on yourself. Don't think about it too much. And make sure you learn from it, because that's the only reason mistakes happen. It's just that we learn from them and we don't repeat the same mistake, the same path. We don't follow the same thing. So just learn from it. Don't think about it too much, because there's no point on just thinking about it and being hard on yourself and being so negative and being mean to yourself. Like I feel like everyone forgets. Sometimes we're just concerned about what everybody else thinks, and that everyone is pointing out that mistake or that big flop, or that you're going to be remembered for that. No one cares. Literally, no one is paying that much attention but you, of course. So just let it go, don't think about it, and move on. That's my advice.
I love that. Yeah, I would basically say to myself the same thing. I'd be like, Grace, calm down. Not that many people are watching or listening as you think they are. Everyone's busy and occupied in their own life. So take a deep breath and stop reliving it, because I tend to relive embarrassing situations in my head constantly. Like, I'll be laying in bed. I'll literally rework it too. I'll be like, what if I actually said that? Like, what would they have said? About? And I'm just like, this whole scenario in my head that actually didn't happen. And I'm like, whoa, I need to just back up and be like, okay, it wasn't that bad. Or if it was bad and I need to like reassess some things, that's okay. But it's about not reliving it over and over and over and over again. Let yourself, or yeah, Grace, if you're listening, let yourself move on from
Yeah,
it. Don't
that's a very
dwell on that
toxic
situation.
trait. I think we all do that, like
Yeah.
right before we go to bed. It's
You say
just
I have a
like,
toxic trait. Okay.
no, it not for everyone. Like,
No,
how can
I
we do that to
agree.
ourselves?
I agree. I'll be like, I'll just be in the car, or I'll be on the train, or I'll be in bed, and I'm like reworking this entire situation into a situation that didn't even exist. And I'm like, okay, wait, this is never happening. This is not what happened. I need to live with what did happen in real
Right.
life.
Yeah, no, ditto. No, for real, retweet. I do the same thing. And I think one thing we can also do, the both of us apparently, is not only be kind to ourselves, but like maybe think of ourselves as like a separate person. Like if you see someone being that mean to someone else you love, you'd be like, oh, that's awful. So then why do
Yeah.
we do that to ourselves? Right?
That's a great point. Yeah, I agree. Awesome. Well, everyone out there, please keep sending your questions. We really enjoy answering your questions, and we'll be doing that. We'll be keeping that going at the beginning of each of our interviews moving forward. So we have an amazing interview lined up for you guys today. Any last words, Nat, before we jump into it?
I think they're going to love this episode because I loved it so much. So,
Yeah, it was a super. I love this episode as well. So I'm excited for everyone to hear it. And please don't forget to share your thoughts online. So let's jump into it. Hello, everybody. This week's guest is based in the Netherlands and is a marketer and writer with a passion for protecting human rights. After completing her master's thesis on the ineffectiveness of anti-trafficking policy within the EU, Marina Krevanosova pivoted in her career and started focusing on marketing full time after spending years working as a marketer without even realizing it. Now she is a successful digital marketer and entrepreneur, currently building up her own B2B content marketing agency called Retold. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much. Really excited to be here.
Yes, we're so excited to have you. I think we can start with the basics. Where did you grow up as a kid? What do you think your career would be?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a kid, I definitely did not imagine myself working as a marketer. I don't think any little kids are out there right now like, yeah, I want to do marketing when I grow up. Like most little kids, I had like really crazy random ambitions. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a singer, actress. And no, I have no talent there. But I looked at the TV shows and I was like, yeah, I see that for myself. But one thing I always wanted to do is to become a writer. That's always something I enjoyed from like a really young age. I remember I wrote my first like book in air quotes when I was like 4 or 5 years old. So it's always something I wanted to do, but coming from a very STEM-oriented family, Russian family living in the Bay Area in California, it wasn't something that I thought could be a realistic full-time career. My parents both always pushed me to go more in the math and science direction. They were like, well, if math and science isn't your thing, then I guess you can become a lawyer or something, you know? So anything that was more in the creative space wasn't seen as a real possibility. As a result, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I initially started to follow in my dad's footsteps. I did some programming. I did some web design. But I realized that I like working with people more. And through my academic career, I found myself studying international relations after dropping out of economics with a couple classes left to graduate. Horrified my father, but that's just part of the vibe. I ended up getting my master's in political science here in the Netherlands. Yeah, as you mentioned, I wrote my thesis on anti-human trafficking. I had all these ambitions to change the world. But upon kind of getting settled in the Netherlands, I was like, okay, well, I don't speak Dutch, at least not enough to work in a government or NGO organization. I don't have an EU passport. I basically don't meet the minimum requirements for any job in that space. But I want to stay here, so what do I do? And yeah, I found my full-time career in marketing, which I'd also realized I'd been doing for like years before. But it was just the idea that I got from my family that it was work like for now. It wasn't real work. All the social media management I was doing. I was managing crazy accounts. I was doing email marketing. I was doing copywriting and blogging for websites. But I didn't see it as real work until that point in time where everything kind of shifted. And I was like, this is something real that people will pay me to do. And yeah, I haven't looked back since.
It is a very interesting concept because Nat and I both work in marketing, and Nat in particular works on social media solely. And it is very interesting, though, people's perspective. And I think it's definitely changed over the past 5 years in particular, because I think social media was seen as definitely not a job.
Yeah.
Originally. Now, and I think marketing in general was kind of really looked down upon, and it's definitely changed over the past few years. And I think it was respected before, but it's definitely like, okay, you can go into marketing and you can make a true career out of it. And I think you could before, but it's more seen more widely as like an open avenue for college kids to pursue. It is very interesting.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes from older generations not being as familiar with the internet because they didn't grow up with it the same way a lot of us did. So when I talk to my dad, for instance, and I'm like, yeah, you know, online marketing, he's like, well, what is that? Are those like the spammy ads I block out? Like, what do you even do? But now there's more education around it. It's becoming kind of more commonplace. And I think that's just sparking so many changes.
Definitely. Definitely. So what was kind of your turning point that led you from policy and government interest to content marketing and brand strategy?
I wouldn't say there was a concrete turning point. I think it really is the fact that I always enjoyed marketing. I always kind of did it on the side, outside of my other jobs, outside of my studies. And after finishing my thesis and exploring those opportunities and being like, well, I can't do any of this in the Netherlands, so it's either go back home to the US and move to DC and try to make something of myself, or, you know, take kind of more of a leap, stay in Europe, something completely foreign to me. Take a chance on myself and just try a full-time career in marketing And that's what I decided to do, because ultimately I was like, well, America's always going to be there. I can always move back home. My family will always welcome me with open arms, but I'm not always going to have a chance to try something in a completely different country halfway across the world. So it was a combination of all those factors that just made me say, okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. We love supporting women following their work career dreams and breaking barriers and everything. I always think you can learn something from absolutely everything, right? So were there any skills or lessons from your policy studies that unexpectedly helped you in your career shift to the marketing field?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had a lot of people ask me, like, do I regret even getting a master's degree in a completely random, unrelated field now that I'm a marketer? Do I feel like I wasted time or money? And my answer is always no. I think it was time, money well spent, not just for the connections I made and the people I met, but also the fact there's so much overlap just from the perspective of research and kind of honing your qualitative and quantitative research and planning skills. There's so much that I did during my master's study that transferred over to marketing that I didn't even realize. You know, I was doing so much writing, so much technical writing. I was conveying some more technical, more complicated topics to an audience who might not understand it well. And that's everything I do as a marketer. So I definitely think my education, though it seems unrelated, it really helped me in a lot of ways.
Interesting. So I am currently working on, it's not a full agency, but just in freelance. So I'm curious, what inspired you to start Retold and focus specifically on B2B? I think with your government background and human rights background, some people might think you do more just customer focused work or maybe like nonprofit work or anything like that. So what really drove you to focus on B2B work?
So when it comes to starting Retold, it was a matter of me kind of realizing, well, I'm not really happy in my job, but I don't know why, you know, before I launched Retold. And I like the people I worked with and I like the work I did and the company, but I just wasn't happy. And I had a conversation with someone who at the time was a complete LinkedIn stranger. We just went to a conference together and I was like, yeah, I'm not happy and I don't know why. And he was like, you sound like you need to start your own company. And I was like, well, I was like, how did you read my mind? And he's like, well, the thing is, like you're saying, he's like, it sounds like you want to work for yourself. Like, have you ever tried it? Have you ever considered it? And I was like, well, yeah, I have, but it's scary. It's risky. And he's like, well, that's never going to change. It'll be the same in a year or 10 years, but you either try it or you always live wondering what if. And I was like, dang, that's real. That's really, really true. So my contract at the time was expiring. I was set for renewal. But to me, it kind of marked the end of an era with that company. It felt like I wasn't quitting. So I didn't feel bad that I was like, you know, quitting and seeing if things were going to work out a different way. I wasn't being fired. It was really me just saying, okay, I worked with you guys for the set period of time. And now I want to do something different. So yeah, completely out of nowhere. I think within a couple of weeks, I went from full-time employed to having my own company, which was crazy. And the B2B content marketing bit came from, well, I knew I wanted to do a marketing agency, but I remember sitting down and just being like, what am I good at and what do I enjoy? And after writing everything out, I had like a Venn diagram more or less. And immediately I was like, it's B2B content marketing. Like, that's where I add the most value. That's what I enjoy the most. And for me, while I do enjoy that kind of customer aspect of things, I think B2B is where I'll add the most value, because a lot of B2B companies are very boring. They're very bland. Yeah. And their marketing, unfortunately, is like that as well. Yeah. So that's where I step in. I kind of bring in the creative side of things. I bring storytelling into what they do. I just think there's a lot more potential to make a tangible difference for me there.
I love that. Yeah. And I think you did mention something very important about two very important questions. What am I good at? And what do I know? Like, I think sometimes these two, they don't meet. So you really need to take time and think about it. Like, not everything that we want might be what we need and, you know, so on, so on. So you mentioned creating this impactful stories, the storytelling and this very captivating content. How exactly does your agency help businesses craft compelling content that actually converts?
Starts with a conversation, kind of the way that we're sitting down now, just kind of talking, answering questions, asking questions. I do the same with all of my clients. So depending on kind of who's leading the transformation at my client's company, I'll sit down, I'll talk to them. I'll figure out who the people with key information and key opinions are. And we just sit down, we talk like this. I try not to make it too structured, not too formal, because I feel like when they're not feeling like they're being interviewed, they share so much valuable information. And they might not even realize the value that they can offer their audience through the content. So the way they're promoting themselves ends up being very generic. The keywords like, we synergize with our clients and we're unlike the rest. And you read that. Yeah, you're rolling your eyes. And it's like, yeah, duh. Like every single company says that. But when you have these conversations, you learn what actually makes these people tick, why they started their companies, why they work with these companies, what gets them and their clients excited every day. And I feel like that is the perfect foundation to tell their story.
Yeah. Definitely. Not only is it asking what like the founder wants, but also the employees of that company too, because I think they really see the hands-on work every single day. And depending on the size of the company, might even know how the company runs better than the original founder. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see businesses make in their content strategies?
I see them playing it too safe, and I see them trying to copy what everyone else is doing. So they see their competitor trying something and then they immediately think, well, that means I need to be trying that. I need to be doing that. But that's not the case. I think the companies who really make an impact are the companies who kind of step out of their comfort zones. They step away from what everyone else is doing and they get noticed. So I'd say playing it too safe and trying too hard to blend in are the biggest mistakes.
There are some birds like chirping way too loud. Apologies on my end. I do live in the middle of the jungle. So if you hear a bird, just excuse me. But yeah, so you mentioned stuff that perhaps marketers or companies or even nonprofits are not doing well. But what about this one underrated content marketing strategy that more brands should be using that maybe they overlook?
I think what a lot of B2B brands should be doing is focusing more on their employees as the face of their company. And I'm not necessarily saying that only your people should be in front of everything you do. You should never talk about your product or your service. But I'm really saying humanize your brand. Show pictures of your people. Let your people talk about what you do and the value you deliver. Because at the end of the day, yes, it's B2B, but it's H to H. It's human to human. And I think that's just such an underrated aspect of what they're missing out on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I actually just wrote something on LinkedIn the other day talking about how it's really all about connections these days, no matter if you're B2B or B2C or whatever you are. It's all about the story that you bring to the table that really connects with the audience and connects with the buyers or sellers or whoever you're trying to talk to. And that's so important these days.
Yeah, I think also we are so connected to like these devices and gadgets that we're looking for connecting with humans, right? Through the screen or through the content we see. So I love that answer, human to human. I love that one.
As a woman entrepreneur, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced building a business?
I would say that I feel like maybe I'm not taken as seriously as certain people in the space, specifically men who are much older than I am. Kind of by default, the stereotype people have is, if it's a guy in his 40s or 50s, then he knows what he's doing. He's a seasoned professional. And then it doesn't even matter what he's saying or doing. That's just kind of the general vibe. So I feel like as a woman and as a younger woman who doesn't hide the fact that she's younger and likes to, joke around and use humor in her approach and use a lot of memes, I feel like I might not be taken as seriously, which is a shame because I feel like I really connect my personality with what I do. That's how I like to resonate with my target audience. And I feel like, yeah, some people take that in a way that, oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's not serious. She's inexperienced, whatever it is. So that's something that I've really had to kind of fight an uphill battle on.
I love that advice. And, I've said this in past episodes too. I admire entrepreneurs so much because I always feel like I couldn't do it. I don't know how to build something from scratch or where do I even start. That's why I admire Grace so much too for her freelancing agency. So what advice would you give to women looking to start their own agency or freelance journey?
I would definitely say you're capable of more than you think. So this applies to you as well. And don't be afraid to take that leap. the worst thing that'll happen is it won't work out and you'll be in the exact same place as you are today. So if anything goes even a little well, your life and your situation could be 1% better, 2%, 10%. Any improvement is an improvement and it's a step in the right direction. So my biggest tip is don't sell yourself short. Really go for it. And if it doesn't work out, well, you tried it and at least now you know. So you're not wondering what if.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that I've thought a lot about going into building my freelance agency or whatever it turns into in the long run, and not overanalyzing every little thing as well. You know, just we talked about it actually, Nat and I, in another episode where it was the two of us about just put it out there. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect for the world to see it. Just put it out there. And yeah, as you said, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, it can only get better from there. So how can women in marketing and business better advocate for themselves and their businesses?
Biggest thing that comes to mind is apologizing less for who you are. I see women in business and in leadership often just apologizing for existing, basically, for apologizing for taking up space. And my biggest tip is stop apologizing. Apologize when you've done something wrong. Absolutely. Take ownership, take responsibility, but stop apologizing for every little thing and just kind of shrinking yourself to fit into these, I don't know, forms that others have created for you and kind of diminishing the value you bring and saying, you know, instead of saying, I have an idea, I just wanted to add, you have an idea, you wanted to add this. So that's the biggest tip I have. Take up space.
I'm going to take that advice very seriously. For sure. And I love how every time you answer, I feel like Grace and I are like, yes, exactly. No, I love that. What impact do you hope Retold has on the industry, particularly for women in business?
I hope that when women in business look at my company, they see it as inspiration to try their own thing, whatever it is they want to do. And even if it feels like they're rushing it, or maybe they're not as prepared as they'd like, I hope that they look at me and they're like, okay, if she can do that in a couple weeks, I can definitely do anything that I set my mind to. I feel like a lot of women, especially women that I've seen, they take so much time into planning and they never quite make it to the execution stage because there's always an excuse, right? There's always something that pops up. Life doesn't go according to plan. They're like, yeah, I've been wanting to start my own company for the last 5-6 years, but I never did. And I'm like, 5-6 years. That's insane. Like, then when are you going to do it? There's never going to be a perfect time. Just try it, make it happen. And again, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that I even struggle with sometimes. I've been saying I'm going to start, like, turn my freelance into a full-time agency for years. And I've finally come to the point where I'm like, okay, I need to get, like, if I'm going to do it, I have to get serious.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep you updated on my journey with that. But what, I guess, is one piece of advice, a career advice that you think all women should hear, not just in business?
That's a tough one. I feel like there's so many. I guess this goes back to what I was saying earlier, but don't sell yourself short. No matter, again, this applies to work, this applies to personal. Don't feel like you don't deserve what you actually deserve. Stop settling for mediocre relationships, mediocre friendships, mediocre jobs, mediocre promotions, whatever it is. You deserve everything that you deserve. And don't let anyone convince you otherwise. And the second that you start having that confidence, people can start seeing that confidence. You project it outwardly completely. So I think it starts with you. And once you start showing that to people, you're going to get everything you deserve in life.
Wow. Okay, Marina, you're making us cry. Okay. No, I love that. I think this whole interview and the advice you're giving is going to be so helpful for everyone who's listening. So to wrap up, we always love asking this question. It's a very random one, but if your life had a theme song, what would it be?
That's actually an easy one for me because the song always plays in my head and it's The Final Countdown because I feel like I'm always counting down to the next big thing. Like, all the time in life and work and my career and everything, there's always, I'm planning something. I'm trying to make a big move. I'm trying to make a change. And that song is just always on in the background.
It's a great song. It's a great pick.
I love that. That is a good pick.
Yeah.
That is a good pick. We've discussed putting together a Spotify playlist of all the songs that our guests say. So we'll definitely have to add that one. We'll add that one to the list for sure and send you the link.
Yeah. Yeah. But we really need to do that. We haven't done that. We need to create.
It'd be fun to do. Yeah. For sure. It'd be very random mishmash of songs, but it would be fun.
But a very interesting one. Yeah. I think it's going to be a very empowering playlist for sure. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, this has been amazing, Marina. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to add as we wrap up this episode?
Just take a chance on yourself. If it's today, if it's tomorrow, if it's a little thing, if it's, I don't know, wearing a color you don't usually wear or starting a conversation with someone who you're too scared to talk to, just try something new, take a little bold risk, and yeah, you never know where it'll lead you.
Yeah, I love that. Just start.
Definitely.
Just let's go. I love that. Well, Marina, this conversation has been incredible. From your early passion for human rights to building a thriving content marketing agency, your journey is such a powerful reminder that career paths don't have to be linear. They can evolve and shift in ways that align with our skills, passions, and impact. To everyone listening, make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Goalgetter Podcast for updates and great content. And don't forget to tune in. We have weekly episodes you won't want to miss. See you next week.
Bye, everybody.